Welcome to the Nerdstalker Tech Week Update podcast here. I am Adolfo Fronda, episode 47 here. 48 or 47? I just asked you this.
48, dude.
48 off camera. I blew it. And so I'm Adolfo Fronda with my friend here.
Greg Vloria, a.k.a. Social Greg on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Great.
Have a good week?
Yeah. Great week. Yeah.
Well, it was the Mobile Congress this week, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, lots. So all kinds
lot
of
a lot of mobile stuff.
Yeah, happening here.
Yeah, so let's get into it. I want to enter the first story here. So we got momentum grows for alternative smartphone system, Tizen.
Tizen, yeah. So,
Coming.
Yeah, we've been talking about this, Greg and myself, for quite some time now. We've been saying over and over here, it's coming. Tizen's coming. And it seemed kind of like an offbeat idea for quite some time, right? This is it's an open source Samsung-backed initiative. It's basically a phone operating system, if you want to sort of dumb it down here, a mobile smartphone kind of platform, right? Which I'm sure can go to some sort of tablet thing eventually, too. So tablet Tizen is what they're saying now is that they will go on sale this year with a view to eventually compete with the industry leaders, Apple iOS and Google's Android. For now, Tizen will compete with another newcomer, Firefox OS, as well as Microsoft's Windows Phone and a revamped BlackBerry operating system. Tizen has a powerful backer in Samsung Electronics Company. Spokesman Michael Lin confirmed Tuesday that the Korean company is ditching its own homebrew operating system, Bada, in favor of Tizen. Samsung will also continue to make Android phones. The network company in Europe, Orange, says they'll be selling Tizen phones later this year.
Whoa.
Quite a boon for Tizen.
Whoa.
Sprint's a member of the Tizen group, but has not announced any plans to bring Tizen to the U.S. yet. Intel and Huawei are also major backers as well. Tizen's open source, as I said, and Tizen Association says the phones will launch with a store with thousands of apps this year, as we mentioned. So huge news.
A little bit better splash. I guess they learned from the Windows mobile lessons.
Yeah, I think that's a great point too, because they have said in a lot of their statements is that they've learned even from Bada too, really, what it takes in order to launch a successful sort of, or what not to do essentially, right? This is super interesting because Samsung, as we've said over and over on this podcast, is a major Android manufacturer, right? Why not take the whole pie for themselves and not have Google tell them what to do? They're hedging their bets here by doing both, right? But why not be an autonomous company that does this sort of end-to-end type of solution? It seems like I think we're going to see more and more, especially with these Chinese manufacturers come to the fore and become industry leaders in this kind of thing. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, did you hear what Google said this week about Motorola, I guess in response to this announcement? They said Motorola was really the bet hedge against Samsung pulling out. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. So, Greg, copyright violators, what's going on here?
Thanks to Nina Medel of Fast Company for this. So, copyright violators, you know who you are. The Center for Copyright Information announced on Monday that a new system is being rolled out that will alert consumers of if the internet service provider, the ISP, suspects them of illegal downloading. So the so-called copyright alert system, it's kind of interesting, is backed by the administration, President Barack Obama's administration, and was pushed heavily by record labels and Hollywood studios. Yeah, no wonder, right?
Yeah.
So the plan, more than 4 years in the making, probably because you had to get all these Yahoos together. Did I say Yahoo? Sorry, not real Yahoo, but all the other Yahoos, including participation by AT&T, Cablevision Systems, Comcast, Time Warner, Verizon, and more could join because it's a hot topic, right? Mm-hmm. So it was first introduced in 2011, but there was a kind of a tug of war between the entertainment industry and the service providers about how it really should be implemented, how it should be alerted, and all that stuff. So, I don't know. So the way it works is that the consumers will first get a kind of a slap on the wrist saying that, There's an alert that the ISP suspects that you might be illegally using copyright material in a bad way.
Right.
And then it'll mitigate to what they call mitigation measures. I don't know if Guido and the black van pulls in front of your house and knocks on your door and kicks your ass or something like
Yeah.
that, but I don't know. What do you think about this?
I think this is pretty awful, you know. I think this is really terrible, especially the way that they're going about the So you essentially what I've heard is that in order to even get a court hearing, you're gonna have to pay like a $35 fee or something like that. There's some sort of fee, $50 or something like that. And that's just to say that you're not guilty. So you're paying whoever this non-governmental board to say you're not guilty, right? It's a scam. You know, it's so it's weird. It goes, you know, usually you're proven innocent until, you know, guilty, and here that you're sort of you have to prove your innocence. It's really backwards and horrible.
Oh, it is terrible. I don't know, why they even implemented anything like this, but it was
Yeah,
just,
it's
oh
shady.
my
It's shady.
gosh,
The power of
it's
lobbyists,
pretty
I
shady.
suppose.
Well, and power lobbyists, and it's just another bureaucracy gone bad again,
Yeah,
huh?
man.
Jeez, jeez. Okay. Well, anyway, we beat that dead horse. Let's go on to the next one. What's this about? Pandora resurrects its 40-hour limit on free music? This is cool.
No, this is uncool, actually. This is kind of it's a super you'll see. It's kind of this kludgy user experience, service experience design kind of thing. You'll see here for a minute. So Pandora, as it struggles to deal with the rising cost of royalty costs, which are really killing them, streaming radio service Pandora is bringing back an old idea of capping free mobile usage at 40 hours a month. The company is also trying to make the system as straightforward as possible. You'll now listen to how like kludgy and weird this solution is. You'll get an alert when you reach 85% of the limit, and when you hit the cap. Then there's a couple of pricing options. You can pay a one-time fee of 99 cents to get unlimited listening for the rest of the month, or you can sign up for a Pandora One subscription, which includes unlimited advertising-free songs, or you can decide that you don't want to pay and just listen on your desktop, laptop, computer for the rest of the month, as that's a whole different sort of no-cap thing. And if you're thinking about getting around the limit by just creating a second account, Pandora says that won't work because it's applying the cap at both an account and at the device level. So the CEO is placing much of the blame on the rising cost of music. He said that the per track royalty rates have increased 25% in the past 3 years, with an additional 16% increase expected over the next 2 years. If the company's most recent earnings release, oh, in the company's most recent earnings release, Pandora reported growing revenue and a tiny profit, but its forecast was much lower than expected. The cap will take
Of
effect
course.
starting this March, everyone. So you have been warned. It's a really, I don't really put the blame on Pandora so much as the recording industry or the music industry, really. They're trying to basically gouge any of these sort of online streaming solutions versus like what radio, the deal that radio's getting, right? Supposedly is what I hear. So what needs to happen is the same thing as radio as online, just unlimited sort of streaming music. And I mean, there's advertising in there. So, I mean, you know.
Well, they just need to blow up the system, as we talked about before. That's why, there's a lot of people popping up where they want to go direct, right, for monetization. Why go through booking agents and all these middlemen who's just, there's someone reaching your pocket every along the way until the artist finally gets a penny,
This reminds
So,
me of Napster. It's too bad. I hope Pandora doesn't end up like Napster, because Pandora is, and as Napster
oh,
was,
yeah.
such a fantastic service. So I really hope that they can stay in business legitimately.
Yeah, I think it's monetization pressures as well as the price gouging by the labels. So
So, Greg,
shame.
what's going on in
Just
Silicon
shame.
Valley, bro?
Okay, thanks to Matt Richtel of New York Times on this. Silicon Valley worries about addiction to devices. So, Silicon Valley, SF Tech, we all got devices, we're all checked in, right? So it's where technology seems all powerful, right? So they held the Wisdom 2.0 conference
All
in
right.
February, and founders from Facebook, Twitter, eBay, Zynga, and PayPal, and other executives and managers from Google, Microsoft, Cisco participated in conversations about really mindfulness of technology, right? And the concern was voiced in these conferences is really about the collective powerful lure of consumers to games and activities that really waste time or detract them. I mean, it's an addiction, right?
Oh,
I mean, we
sure.
want to always feel good. That dopamine addiction that we all love and crave, right?
Yeah,
We
totally.
want to get stimulated
Yeah.
constantly. So you heard about years ago when BlackBerry was in its vogue, right? The CrackBerry,
Sure.
right? We're always connected to the thing. And it's interesting. A lot of these tech companies are really thinking about this. And think about it. It's kind of counterintuitive, right? They're the ones creating technology that we're addicted to,
Right,
right?
I sure.
So, but they're saying, oh, well, you really have to have a life.
Yeah.
So, I think Google, said something really interesting, which I'd like to quote here, is that consumers need to have an internal compass where they're able to balance the capabilities that technology offers them for work, for search, and with the qualities of lives that they live offline. So I thought that was kind of a cool statement by someone from Google. I don't know, what do you think? I mean, are we addicted to all this
Well,
stuff, you and
remind,
I?
there's a few things, right? I mean, I used to game way back when, like Wolfenstein or something, like super
Oh
old stuff,
yeah.
heavily. And what I found is
Super
that I
addictive.
had to
Super
keep
addictive.
going at every free moment. I had to keep going, and I was just losing hours, literally hours of my life doing this every day, which is not a good thing, And and then also now I see people constantly looking at their phones, and then when they go from the phones to their screens when they're at, wherever, home or at work or whatever. And granted, you could be really busy and get lots of emails, but suddenly, if it that sort of the weekend comes along, right? And you're in this
Right.
weird pattern of checking your phone still or looking, wanting to look at the screen because you're sort of conditioned like this Pavlovian dog, you know what I mean, to respond. It's and I think you got a legitimate point. It's very unhealthy, man. So yeah, anything that can help all of us, good on them.
Well, social media has really kind of trained us that way too with the smartphones, right? I mean, when those darn Facebook, Twitter alerts happen, we are, did someone mention me? Did someone mention me? And it does feel good. I'll admit, if I've been away from my phone for about 6 hours, either because I lost the battery power, which happens a lot, or I just left the phone at home. Sometimes I know when I leave the phone at home, I sweat.
Yeah,
I'm like
totally.
saying,
Like,
I
oh,
can't get at my
must get
phone.
back to it, the
And I'm saying these stupid stories in my mind that, how are people going to contact me?
Right.
Like I'm this all-powerful being of the
Yeah,
earth,
totally.
right?
Totally. Oh,
But
right.
anyway,
Speaking of all powerful.
I know. Yeah, speaking of all powerful, let's go down to the next
Yeah,
story.
man.
So what's going on about the famous
Yeah.
is going to change
Right,
everything?
yeah.
It already has, hasn't
Yeah.
it?
So yeah, famous. It's actually famo.us. So I was lucky enough to attend an HTML5 user conference here in San Francisco at a startup the other day, and there was this little startup called Famous there. Just a few people, a handful of people of this company, if you can even call it that. Yeah, they got funding. And what they've done is they've effectively replicated native application performance, like a native iOS application or native Android application, using nothing more than HTML5 and JavaScript. And I was absolutely blown away by their demo. I would definitely urge you all to go check out famo.us, famous. Go to their website and check out their demo. They have an incredible demo. We'll play some of the video here, where it's essentially the periodic table the periodic table, right? And it's all in 3D and all around you, and you see all these cards on your screen that are floating around and moving. And each card is effectively a div for your HTML developers out there. And no WebGL, they're getting 40 to 60 frames per second on phones, tablets, PCs, and televisions.
Wow.
Mod a template or piece together components. No plugins, no WebGL, no canvas. Works on modern browser. Everything is DOM, and it's only 65 kilobyte footprint, 65 KB footprint for this thing. So for your developers out there, you're asking, how is this possible? What they've effectively done is rewrote part of WebKit. A lot of the inefficient parts in order to make it perform like a gaming engine. Their inspiration was gaming engines, because gaming engines and game developers have solved this problem a long time ago in terms of 3D and performance for this type of solution. I'm oversimplifying this all. You really got to check it out. These guys are gonna change the game, basically, is my prediction. But remember, this is plumbing, right? So there's nothing really what apps are you guys going to make kind of thing. This is like the framework. This is a platform for designers and developers to work off of to create the next generation incredible applications. Some of the examples they gave of what is possible is something like a Pinterest or a Flickr. Imagine what you could do with that type of application if it was 3D and fluid on your phone, right? And super fast, and it worked really well. Very exciting technology. I am so freaking pumped on it. We will see. They have some major backing investment. I know they're working with some very large television manufacturers right now. If you could imagine, you know, little weird appliances and things like that in your home performing like this. So we'll see. Famous. Check them out. famo.us. I've said the URL many times now, so that's enough.
So Samsung's taking its cue from Apple and created its own little passbook app called Wallet.
Hey.
You know, it's pretty obvious. Yeah. I didn't think anyone could coin something called Wallet, but okay, why not?
How original.
That's probably a better name than Passbook, actually. So, the app lets providers integrate their apps with the Samsung Wallet so that the mobile device can let users add their electronic tickets, coupons, whatever have you, going to the airplane, trains, whatever, you know. So they demoed the app at the Mobile World Congress, this week. Yeah. So good. They have really heavyweights like Walgreens, Major League Baseball, Expedia, Booking.com, Hotels.com, airlines like Lufthansa so far. So it's only open in beta still to developers, but it should be able to launch and open up in May, they said. So isn't that pretty cool? We're actually going to start using our mobile devices as our wallet now.
Because Apple Wallet has gotten, or Passbook has gotten, so much traction, hasn't it?
Right.
Not.
I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you use your smartphone yet for any kind of electronic stuff? Or
To pay for certain things, yeah, mainly like food things. Like I use Order Ahead a lot before I buy food. There's another one too, I can't remember, that I use sometimes for ordering food ahead or ordering actually there on the spot. With this app, where they scan this 2D barcode thing, and then I get like reward type of, pricing, so points and stuff at some point. But
you're addicted to that, aren't you?
I like efficiency. I don't like talking to people, as we can see with Greg. I really don't like talking to Greg. So speaking of Greg, opposite of Greg, speed round.
You're up first, my friend.
Yes. So I'm talking about Leap Motion's control sensor to launch in May for $80. Remember Leap Motion? There was a lot of demos online of this little square device. And what you do is you motion all the stuff to control your computer or whatever your device is, the screen, instead of in lieu of a mouse, right? Or anything else. And it's incredibly responsive. I think the team is here out of San Francisco or here out of the Bay Area. They've gotten incredible reviews, a lot of super positive feedback, and it's going live. So yeah, it's San Francisco-based startup Leap Motion has finally announced availability of its small motion control sensor. The company revealed on Wednesday that it will ship its $80 motion tracking device to customers who place pre-orders during the week of May 13th, and it will arrive at Best Buy stores in the U.S. on May 19th. The Leap Motion sensor is compatible with desktops and laptops running Windows 7, Windows 8, OS 10.7, and OS 10.8. So yeah, there we go. Check them out. Leap Motion.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. Speed round. Okay. Hey, people want their phones unlocked, they say. So thanks to VentureBeat for this. The threshold of 100,000 signatures have been met by people who want to say.
Oh, that's right. I heard about this.
There's a petition against the controversial ban against unsanctioned smartphone unlocking, right? That happened last month, right? Yeah. And people just like went crazy. Yeah. So now there's even a person named Derek Kana who's kind of helped lead the campaign. Mm-hmm. He was on the Republican study committee staffer on this one. Hey, Derek's cool, man. So, he says that there's obviously interest here. So, people want to have some freedom with their devices. Mm-hmm. So good on them. Yeah. I hope they could overturn that stupid thing because it's really a pain in the butt.
If you know, this is important stuff.
Yeah. We'll put the link up for that. But gosh, isn't it crazy? Yeah. I mean, Oh,
Speed
wow.
Round.
So what do you have next?
Speed
round.
So Waze, my favorite mapping GPS application on iPhone and Android, actually. I love it better than Google Maps, and I love it better than Apple Maps, actually. So what they've done is they've added real-time rerouting around road closures to the latest iOS and Android update. So if a certain number of Waze users report the same closing, the app will automatically start rerouting all users around reported road closures. I love it. They've updated the UI a little bit, a lot of little tweaks, stability, bug fixes, and stuff like that. And it's free, people. So I highly advise and recommend you go out to whatever app store is for your particular device and look up W-A-Z-E Waze. The enhancement is super cool and it works fantastically. So what about you, Greg? Speed
that's
round.
Cool. Speed round. So the wearable future. Hey, we've seen rumors that the Apple iWatch is coming out, and now Samsung has also come out with their own little version of that. Cool. So I'd like to just quickly talk about wearable watches and your devices. Just real quick, what do you think about that? Would you wear an eye device on your wrist and
absolutely. Being the biohacker noob that I am, I'm like getting all this stuff, and I see this as another avenue. A lot of people are only seeing this as a potential iPod, right, or an iPhone. But I think a lot of people have suddenly surmised that there's this big quantitative self movement out there, and that this can go far beyond it. Look at the success of Fitbit, right? Or a lot of these other things. So a lot of people are speculating this watch could go beyond just alerting you when someone's messaging you, that this could also be your pedometer also. This is effectively be a Fitbit plus more. The prospects of this, whoever the manufacturer is, it could be very exciting. So that would be awesome.
Well, there's Nike's Fuel Band as well, right? I mean, they kind of started us thinking about this a little bit more, right? I don't think it was as successful as it was, but it got us kind of thinking about that.
But there have been some
activity monitor, motion monitor.
Things, on Kickstarter and things like that, that are like independent people doing this kind of stuff. Imagine if a large manufacturer gets into this seriously.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think it has to be just, I got my Twitter feed going to my watch.
Yeah, totally.
Come on, I don't need that. I don't need that. I like the biohacking slant to that. Cool, dude. So let's go into our tips.
Tip time. Yeah, so my tip of the week is an HTML5 application, if you want to call it that, called Sun.
Of course.
S-U-N.
Yes.
It's actually an HTML5 iOS web app for iPhone and iPad. You can select, it's effectively a really beautiful weather app, sort of, but it's all browser-based. So you go to this particular URL, which is pattern.dk/sun. And when you go to that website, you can pin that website to your home screen, right? Or whatever screen on your iOS device, whether it's iPad or iPhone. You open this app, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a beautifully designed web app, HTML5 app. And you can pick like four different cities. I believe this is a Danish company that might be doing it, or whatever DK is. I'm guessing it might be German. I don't know. And so you can pick. By default, it's metric, right? So it goes to Celsius and stuff like that. But you can go to Fahrenheit, and instead of meters, you can select miles and all, and that whole thing. Select different color schemes. It's really gorgeous, and then you can pinch and zoom. And when you pinch, it'll give you a graph of the day, you know, and by time, and it's all really pretty and performs really beautifully. I'm butchering it by this description, but I, you know, we'll probably put some video footage or some stills here next to us here.
Sure.
So check it out. Anyways, the URL, it's absolutely gorgeous, of the application. So check it out. It's pattern.dk/sun. And the app is called Sun. What about you, Greg? Your tip.
Hey, I just interviewed a book scanning service. Can you imagine
cool,
that?
Man.
So there's a book service called $1 Scan, and you could just imagine what that means.
Yeah.
So for $1, you could scan up to 100 pages and get a lot of your books into your e-readers or your iPad.
That's awesome.
So Hiroshi Nakano from $1 Scan we interviewed just earlier, and we'll post that interview probably in the next couple of days, has a service where you send your book in to his facility in San Jose, California, and they basically cut the binding off, scan it, and send it back to you in PDF form.
Wow.
So it's really kind of cool.
Oh, so
now they have.
So you're sacrificing
go ahead.
Book basically if they're like cutting it. So that's the that's the trade-in. All right. Cool.
So that's the fair use. So that the angle how they get around copyrights is that it's fair use. So basically you're trading your book in to get an electronic copy, and you're using it for your own personal use.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're trying to wonder how they did that, right?
Yeah.
It's very popular in Japan, apparently. Now, you know, it's a little bit different in Japan. You know, when you have 100 books on your bookcase, that takes a lot of space. But here in the U.S., I don't know if we worry about that too much. But
Nakao-san
mentioned. that's true. So Nakao-san said that he had, I forget, over 100 books in his small apartment in Tokyo. You know, he was just going nuts. And after he scanned all of his books using this technology, and I'll mention something a little bit about this technology in a little bit, is that he got it down to he got all his 100 books into his iPad.
Wow,
isn't that cool?
I love this.
Yeah, and so they have this unique technology called fast scan or something like that, which basically takes out all the white space around there. So it actually minimizes the PDF file as well and optimizes it. So it's really cool.
This is so cool, man.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm going to buy
$1,
this. I'm going this.
$1 per 100 pages, and on the average, he said that usually it's about $3 because it takes about maybe 300 page books,
you know, something
like that.
So. Yeah, I'm one of those people that I don't like to keep my books. It's really weird. I don't like to keep my books after I read them. I typically donate them or something like that, but I would love to have them as a reference at some point because here in San Francisco, you know, real estate is really expensive when you're renting or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
And so space is precious, just like in Japan. And so this is an awesome option, or for people that just don't want to keep stuff, you know.
Oh, and another thing he said that they're going to be coming out, rolling out, and we'll get an exclusive on this is they're going to, you know, for the visually impaired, they're going since they do scan potentially an OCR, they could do it a text to voice
Brilliant.
Thing for your books. Brilliant. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah so
that's great. How
you know,
exciting.
Good
great
on them.
Tip, Greg.
Good on them, man. All right, man.
Cool.
All right.
So events,
so
what do we got coming up, man?
We have SF Japan Night. B-Tracks is SF Japan Night next week on the March 5th at Yedizen. That's on Howard Street. So just go to www.sfjapannight.com for tickets and information through Eventbrite. And also tomorrow night, we got the SF New Tech Mixer. And Miles started that kind of new program to kind of just get everyone to kind of do the meetup scene again, where, and that's how he originally started as a new tech, right? So
Right.
that's going to be really cool.
Great.
And are you going to the Bill? Aren't you going to the
We'll
Bill
see. That's
conference?
straight up in the air, people. But check it out. The Bill Conference,
Oh,
BillConference.com,
okay.
I believe. It's in Long Beach, California, March 2nd through 3rd. Get your tickets now. It's
Ooh,
right around the corner.
coming
Yeah,
up.
so a lot of
Oh my
amazing
God.
sort of biohacking talks and science talks and tech talks
Nice.
there. It's going to be fantastic. It's a nice sort of intimate type of thing. It's kind of that TED type of feel, but a smaller kind of thing. Awesome community of people. Emerging technologies, arts, and all kinds of super cool stuff. So check them out. Go check them out at Bill Conference. I believe it's BillConference.com, or just Google BIL Conference.
Right. Okay, man. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. So how can they get a hold of us and get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can check out my Twitter feed, my personal one, at aferonda on Twitter. That's Aforonda. Or you can email me, adolfo@nerdstalker.com. And what about you, Greg?
Oh, catch me on email at socialgreg@nerdstalker.com, or you can catch me on Twitter at socialgreg. So you can just see that up there above my head there. I'd remind everyone, catch us for all of our stories on nerdstalker.com. We have great interviews, great stories, tech. Adolfo has on some great insights also on things he's been thinking about through Audioboo. And I'll catch all of our podcasts, as you'll see here, on iTunes audio and video, and give us a rating. We want to rise
Five
to the
stars,
top.
Please. Five stars.
And we will.
And make sure to check out our
check
Twitter
out our
feed
YouTube.
Too, at
Yes.
NerdStalker
Yes.
for all our updates
Yes.
and stories too.
That's right. And we do have a YouTube
That's
channel,
right.
NerdStalker TV, and a lot of our video from these kind of podcasts, as well as Social Time TV, which just got launched last week.
Yeah.
We have a new episode of
That's
that
right.
With Social Media Sean.
What'd you guys cover in that
there.
episode, Greg?
Well, we did nothing but hacking.
Oh, cool.
Hack, hack, hack.
Hack, hack,
we call
hack.
it. Yeah, so that was, yeah, we talked about a lot of the hacking incidents
Ah,
that
yes.
hit the social networks
Big
last
news.
Week. And we talked about Autonomous getting hacked.
Oh, cool.
That was kind of cool to talk about that. That was kind of really neat stuff. And some of the things that people could do to protect themselves. So
Awesome.
It's cool. Yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate that.
You bet. So
So
everyone, thank you so much
all
for
right.
watching and listening. We will see you next time on Nerd Stalker.
Yeah, this is Greg Bloyer, Nerd Stalker, where we believe in tech, design, and you.